بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. باب التيمم. Chapter Dry Ablution. Here he said وصفته أن يضرب بيديه على الصعيد الطيب ضربة واحدة فيمسح بهما وجهه وكفيه، لقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لعمار إنما يكفيك هكذا، وضرب بيديه على الأرض فمسح بهما وجهه وكفيه. رواه البخاري ومسلم. The following is a description of how it should be performed. One should strike with his hands once the pure earth, صعيد طيب, and then wipes his face with his hands and then his hands due to the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم to Ammar, verily, it should have been sufficient for you to do this. And he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then struck the ground and wiped his face and hands with his hands. Collected by Bukhari and Muslim. Muslim has an extra adding after he said it would have been sufficient for you to do this, and he then struck the ground and struck the ground. Muslim added here, then he blew into them, wiped his face and hands with his hands. So here we have few issues to talk about. First, what does as-sa'id means? We're talking about the dry ablution, and we will speak about the conditions of dry ablution, at-tayammum. التيمم الله سبحانه وتعالى شرعه لحكمة، يعني الله legislated to التيمم for great wisdom. Under the قاعدة, under the rule, إذا ضاق الأمر اتسع. When things become hard, then ease rises. طيب, and becomes easy. Things become easy. Allah سبحانه وتعالى, He made this شريعة for every time and place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this sharia of Islam for every time and place. Hence, we should be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He made the deen easy for us. And easy here doesn't mean you neglect your deen. Easy means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you are out of water, He told you, you can do tayammum. Why is that? So you don't stop praying. Al-Juwayni rahimahullah has something beautiful to say about this. He said, Al-Maqsad, the aim behind the tayammum, if you cannot find the water, at least you're always used to making tahara. You do not cut off yourself from making the tahara. So you are always doing the tahara. It might not make sense to you, why do I need to strike the dirt, or as-sa'id as we will interpret. But Al-Imam Al-Juwayni, he says, yes, there is some reason behind it. And the reason behind it is, for you to always do something before you make the salat. This way, if you are traveling and you are out of water, or you have a little bit of water, as we will explain, and you can't use it, you start slack off on the tahara. No, you're always doing some kind of tahara before the salat. But of course, the tahara of at-tayammum is a must be done if you cannot find water, and as we will speak about it and illustrate. طيب, what constitutes صعيد? صعيد طيب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He said in the Quran, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 6, وَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ مَرْضَىٰ أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ أَوْ جَاءَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْكُمْ مِّنَ الْغَائِتِ أَوْ لَمَسْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا فَامْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ مِّنْهُ. He said, and if you are sick or traveling, or one of you gets the غائت, يعني he answers the call of nature, or you have sexual intercourse with a woman and you cannot find water, then do what? Tayammum from as-sa'id al-tayyib. And they wipe your faces and your hands from it. So what is the sa'id al-tayyib? The ulama of the lughah, Arabic language, on two opinions. One opinion is whatever comes from the face of the earth, whether it is dirt, sand, rocks, clay and others. Abu Ishaq al-Zajjaj from Ulama al-Lughah, he said this is consensus amongst the scholars of the language. Another group of ulama of Arabic language, they said it is the dirt only. And based on this, you see the ulama would differ whether you're allowed to make tayammum on rocks or not, as we will speak later. But this is the meaning of Sa'id, just so we can explain it, as we will move and progress later, where he will tell us more about it, rahimahullah. The howness of it, the way it is done, this is how the hadith is narrated. Both hands, one strike on the Sa'id Tayyib. We'll talk about the Sa'id Tayyib. In the narration of Sahih Muslim, you blow. You take the left palm and you wipe with it the top of the right hand and the right palm, the top of the left hand and the face wiped once. And that's it. That is the tayammum done. The tayammum is done. Mafhum? Now, some have said, as we will talk later, up to the elbows and so on, we will talk about as we move on. And here, rahimahullah, he said, and when I said the whole face, you have to remember that the consensus of the ulama that you're not allowed to wipe part of your face. Must be the whole face, exactly as I told you with the wudu in water. وَإِن تَيَمَّمَ بِأَكْثَرَ مِنْ ضَرْبَةٍ أَوْ مَسَحَ أَكْثَرَ جَازَ. Here he says, if one was to strike the earth more than once or wiped more than that is required, that is permissible. So if you strike the Sa'id al-Tayyib more than once, let's say you went one, twice, or three times, and you wipe your hand or your face more than that, it is allowed. Tayyib. And also, if you wipe more than your hand, let's say you wipe all the way to the elbow, it is allowed. Tayyib. Why? Because, remember in the wudu, when we said you wash to the elbows, you can wash a little bit above the elbows, there is no issue. And this is the same thing. This takes the same of that. And also you have to remember, a lot of ahadith came talking about the tayammum. Some ahadith, it came where you wipe more than the hand, but all of it are weak. Tayyib. And some, the ulama said, even if it is authentic, it is abrogated by the hadith of Ammar. But the correct opinion is once and the hands and the face. But if you do more or strike more, here he's saying it is allowed, there is no problem, no issue with that. And then he said, وَلَهُ شُرُوطٌ أَرْبَعَةٌ أَحَدُهَا الْعَجْزُ عَنِ اسْتِعْمَالِ الْمَاءِ. He said, it has four conditions for us to be allowed to do the tayammum. Pay attention, because you could have the water all over the place, but you can't use the water if you're in a hospital or something. So pay attention, the tayammum sometimes, knowing this ruling, after 5 years, you could sit and say, wow man, alhamdulillah, I attended that lesson, now I know I need it. Especially if you're stuck in the hospital, and you can't have a shower for some skin disease, you know why, and believe it or not, I don't say every day, nor every week, but at least a couple of times a month, I get a call about tayammum for people in hospital. This is only me. You can count how many shuyukh there are in Sydney. So it's not something that is unused regularly. Maybe now, because you're fit and healthy, and you're living in the city, you find, why am I learning this? But believe it or not, you might one day use it, especially in times of sicknesses. Here he said, وَلَهُ شُرُوطٌ أَرْبَعَةٌ. It has four conditions. The first, العجز عن استعمال الماء. Here he said, inability to use the water. When we say inability to use the water, we have under that six different situations when you're not able to use the water. Six different situations when you're not able to use the water. First, due to its unavailability. Now, what does it mean, the water is not available? Meaning that there is no water, you're stuck somewhere and there is no water. الماء معدوم. Then you can resort to tayammum. You can resort to tayammum. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, in Surah An-Nisa, verse 43, if you يعني as فلم تجدوا ماء فتيمموا صعيدا طيبا. If you cannot find water, so do تيمم صعيدا طيبا. Second, for the fear of harm by using water. For the fear of harm by using water. Meaning someone, he's sick. He has some skin disease. And the doctor says he cannot have a shower for 2-3 days. You have to apply this medicine all over your skin for 2-3 days and you cannot have a shower. What happens then? You slept, woke up with a wet dream. Then you can use tayammum. You can go to the backyard and do what? Tayammum and go in and pray. The dalil for the previous one, the dalil for that is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا فَابْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ مِنْهُ مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيَجْعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ حَرَجٍ مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيَجْعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want to put you in a hardship or burden you. So if you're going to get sick by using water, then it is better to do tayammum. Here he said, أَوْ بَرْدٍ شَدِيدٍ, or extreme cold. For example, he's a very old man, very fragile, or very, very sick. And if he has a shower, let's say he's camping in somewhere where it is cold, very, very cold. Wake up before Fajr and it's freezing. There is no warm water. Then what does he do? He uses tayammum. And the hadith is, as Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, in his famous story when the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent him to the battle of Dhatu Salasil, قال, he said, احتلمت في ليلة باردة شديدة البرد. He said, I had a wet dream in a night that is cold, extreme cold. فأشفقت إن اغتسلت أن أهلك. I feared that if I was to have a ghusl, I would die. فتيممت ثم صليت بأصحاب صلاة الصبح. Then I made tayammum and I prayed and led the صلاة الصبح with my companions. And then he mentioned this hadith to the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ أقره على ذلك, يعني agreed of what he done رضي الله عنه. And this hadith, يعني it is authentic. And here he said, أو خوف العطش على نفسه أو ماله أو رفيقه. He said, or fearing of dying of thirst, or out of fear for his wealth, or fear for his companions. What does this mean? This means that if you are traveling and you have just a amount of water, you're fearing that if you were to use it for the wudu, you will die of thirst, either you or your wealth. What does it mean, your wealth? And if you have a livestock, for example, you have a horse, and you need to keep water for your horse because you're traveling on your horse, just an example. Or you have a leaking car in the middle of the desert somewhere, and the water you have is barely enough for you to drink, and for the companions in the car with you to drink, and the car to keep drinking because it's leaking. So what do you do? Do you say, okay, Shabab, we have to make wudu and use that 10 liters that you have, and you get stuck in the middle of the desert somewhere and wait for the vultures to come and have a good dinner? You do the tayammum. Listen, also it is very important to know that not only for what you drink, even the animal, and if you have animal, and you're fearing that this animal will die, also you save the water and you do tayammum. أو خوفه على نفسه أو ماله في طلبه. So the first one, when you fear thirst. The second one he said here, or out of fear for himself or his wealth when in search for it. So that means if you're going to search and leave your money behind, what is the money? You could leave the car behind looking for water and somebody going to steal the car. Or your shepherd, and if you leave your flock looking for water, maybe the wolf comes and eats it, or somebody will steal it. Or you're walking, bushwalking, just whatever is the reason, and you're going to leave your bags and everything behind, looking for water, you fear somebody will come, steal it. Just an example. All of that, it allows you to use the tayammum. Or you fear for yourself, that you're a stranger in one area, you're driving in the middle of the desert somewhere, يعني if you fear for your own safety, you can use the tayammum. Of course, the adilla for these last two issues we spoke about is a golden rule, and pay attention about the golden rule here. لا ضرر ولا ضرار. No harm done, no harm attained. So, you don't cause harm to others and you do not cause harm
to yourself. So that's why if you're going to leave, let's say, your wealth, you don't want to be harmed till the Sharia comes to protect you. And with this, for example, if someone asked you what is the dalil that smoking is haram, tell them the golden rule, لا ضرر ولا ضرار. No harm done, no harm attained. لا ضرر ولا ضرار. Why? Because with the cigarette, you harm yourself and you harm others. That is enough dalil. But the one who wants to argue, he will argue even if you bring him an ayah from the Quran, he will still twist it because he is a chimney. طيب. أو إعوازه إلا بثمن كثير. Or if one was put in a position of extreme destitution, or otherwise being obliged to pay a huge sum of wealth. طيب. What does this mean? This means that if at times water become very, very expensive. Let's say there is an earthquake and there is no water or something happened. And for you to get the water, you have to pay a big amount of money. Then you can use tayammum. But pay attention. Let's say this bottle of water is worth $1.50. The golden rule says, مَا لَا يَتُمُّ الْوَاجِبُ إِلَّا بِهِ صَارَ وَاجِبًا. Or, مَا لَا يَقُومُ الْوَاجِبُ إِلَّا بِهِ صَارَ وَاجِبًا. Whatever the obligation cannot be performed without it, it becomes an obligation. Meaning, if you need a water which is worth $1.50 to make wudu and pray, you cannot find water except $1.50, then you have to buy it. Buying the water becomes obligation on you. Then you say $1.50. What is the market price? $1.50 then. This is the price of the market. Then it is not expensive. Tayyib, somebody knows, he looked at you, he says, all right, this guy looks desperate. $2.50. You still have to buy it. But you say the marketplace is $1.50 and this guy $2.50. We say this is not extreme increase. But if he says $10, from $1.50 to $10, that is extreme increase. Then you resort to tayammum. You understand it? Buying the water becomes obligatory on you. That's why, for example, the woman cannot pray without hijab. Then buying the hijab for her becomes obligation. So she can complete the wajib. Understand these things. You need to understand them because they are very important. The golden rule, 6. Or if one was put in a position of extreme destitution or otherwise been obliged to pay a huge sum of wealth. So that is the first condition, which is as we described 6 different situations. Now, he said, فَإِنْ أَمْكَنَهُ اسْتِعْمَالُهُ فِي بَعْضِ بَدَنِهِ أَوْ وَجَدَ مَاءً لَا يَكْفِيهِ لِطَهَارَتِهِ اسْتَعْمَلَهُ وَتَيَمَّمَ لِلْبَاقِي. He said, if one was able to use water for some of his body, or found water that was not sufficient to purify himself with, should use it and do tayammum to make up for the rest of the body parts. So here what happens? Someone wake up in the morning with a wet dream. He has enough water to just wash the najasa away and to pour water on his head. But he does not have enough water to wash the whole body. Then he does with the water whatever he needs to do. And for the rest he does the tayammum. Meaning, if you remove the najasa from your private parts, you pour the water on your head, and that's all what you have water for. Now, you didn't wash all your body. What happens? How do you continue? Then you do tayammum. In the case of wudu, somebody has a small bottle of water he can use, or a small cup of water. He washed his face, but he does not have water, enough water to continue with his arms up to the elbows and so on. He does what? Tayammum. You understand? He does tayammum for the rest. The second condition, al-waqt. فَلَا يَتَيَمَّمُ لِفَرِيدَةٍ قَبْلَ وَقْتِهَا وَلَا لِنَافِلَةٍ فِي وَقْتٍ نَهِيَ عَنْهَا. Listen to this. This is important. Because a lot of the issues is based on this. The second condition, time. One is not allowed to do tayammum for an obligatory prayer
before its allocated time, nor for a recommended prayer in a prohibited time. So what he's saying here, the Shaykh rahimahullah, he said, you cannot make the tayammum before the time of the salat. Meaning, for example, Adhan al-Dhuhr today is 12:05. You cannot make tayammum till after the time of the Adhan. This issue here is based on a khilaf in the principle amongst the ulama. Is the tayammum mubihun lis-salati faqat aw rafi'un lil yani or rafi'un lil hadath? What does it mean? Is it mubih lis-salat faqat? Is it something you do to allow you to pray and that's it? Or something you do to remove the major and minor impurity? I'll give you so you can understand it. Yani here, the point of the tayammum. Is it just as an allowance? Or take the place of the wudu altogether? Is it just a license for you to do salat and that's it? Because if it is just a license to do the salat and that's it, then you do it when the time starts. You do your wudu and khalas. That means, if you want to pray the asr and you did not lose your wudu, you have to repeat the tayammum again for every salat. Because it's just an allowance for that salat, because you can't find water. It becomes like a rukhsa. Rukhsa, which is an allowance. If it is a rukhsa, then khalas. You do it for that salat and that's it, gone. Or it is rafi' lil-hadath. Rafi' lil-hadath yani takes the place of the wudu. Whatever the wudu allows you to do, the tayammum allows you to do. That's where the ulama differed. And based on this, the issues now are based and built. Surely Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, his own opinion that it is mubihun lis-salati faqat. It's a specific allowance to allow you to pray. It's an allowance for the salat. Because you can't find water, you do with it the salat and khalas. Use it once and that's it. Other ulama on the opinion that no, it is rafi'un lil hadath. It is to remove the hadath. Now, what are the adilla it's used? Because I need to explain this to you as they said. Their dalil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يعني the verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 6, he said, فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا. If you can't find water, then do tayammum. So they said, this is an allowance, rukhsa. Let us use the word rukhsa. Rukhsa is the better Islamic terminology. They said, this is a rukhsa. Khalas, you use it for the salat and that's it. You can't expand on the rukhsa. You take what is the rukhsa, what the rukhsa allows, and that's it. As for rafi' lil-hadath, you use it instead of the water, that's it. Now let's just elaborate on this a little bit. Here, they use the ayah that in the ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَمْ تَجِدُوا مَاءً فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا. You can't find water, so do tayammum sa'id tayyib. They said the basic principle for you to do the wudu. The water, to do the wudu with water. You can't find water, then you use the tayammum. That means it is rukhsa. Bas. Here he said, another group of ulama, including Ibn Taymiyyah and others, he said, why I mention Ibn Taymiyyah? Because he's part of the Hanbali Madhab, so his opinion considered within the realm of the Hanbali Madhab. They said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the tayammum, مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيَجْعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ حَرَجٍ وَلَكِنْ يُرِيدُ لِيُطَهِّرَكُمْ. The ayah says, Allah does not want to put on you hardship. Indeed, He needs to purify you. So what Allah wants to do is purify you. That means the tayammum is something you purify yourself with. So once you purified yourself with tayammum, that means you are on the state of purity like wudu. And also there is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which is Al-Imam Tirmidhi says about it, it's sahih, inshallah it's sahih. Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, As-sa'idu wudu'ul muslim. The sa'id is the wudu of the Muslim. وَإِن لَمْ يَجِدِ الْمَاءَ عَشْرَ سِنِينَ. even if he cannot find the water for 10 years. فَإِذَا وَجَدَ الْمَاءِ, when he finds the water, فَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهِ, let him fear Allah, وَلْيَمَسَّهُ بَشَرَتَهُ, and let him touch his skin, يعني to use the water. So what does the hadith says? The sa'id is the wudu of the Muslim. That means replaces the wudu. And also, the second opinion has another dalil. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَجُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِدًا وَطَهُورًا, in Bukhari and Muslim. And the earth was made to me, for me, a masjid and a mean of purification. And the golden rule says, أَنَّ الْبَدَلَ لَهُ حُكْمُ الْمُبْدَلِ, the badal, the substitute, take the same rule as the substituted. What does it mean? That means whatever given to you as a substitute, it takes the rule of what it's substituted. The tayammum takes ruling of wudu. Once you do the tayammum, you are on a state of purity. So when the Shaykh rahimahullah says, you cannot make tayammum except when the time starts, do we agree with that? Or we say we can do it before the time? As you see, Ibn Qudamah, he says, you do it only after the time has started. And when you do it for after the salat has started, you pray with it, the farida and whatever nawafil extra that you want to do. As for the correct opinion, when we say it is rafi' lil hadath, it removes the major and the minor spiritual impurity, then what happens? Even before the time starts, you make your tayammum and you can pray the farida and the nawafil with. The third condition is intention. Intention. Of course, the dalil for the intention, الثالثُ النِّيَّة, intention. As we know the dalil, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, indeed, deeds by intentions. طيب. فَإِن تَيَمَّمَ لِنَافِلَةٍ فَلَمْ يُصَلِّ بِهِ فَرْضًا. Listen, how the principle, the ulama start to branch off from a principle. That's why you can never be a faqih without principles. If you don't have principles, you're just a blind follower of everyone. And that's when we talked about a blind following. I'll explain in a minute when I read it to you in English. He said, if one intended by the tayammum to do a recommended act, then it is not permissible for him to pray an obligatory prayer with that tayammum. As I said, the difference between a student of knowledge and a person of fuqah and a person who's a blind follower, the blind follower, every time he hears an opinion, he's convinced by it. The student of knowledge, he has principle. Yani, the imam, he based on his principle and he branched off from it. He said, now, if you made a tayammum with the intention of anafila, which is, what did they translate it? Recommended prayer, you cannot do an obligatory prayer. Why? Because it is rukhsa. So your intention has to be for salat al-dhuhr. If you're praying dhuhr, you cannot have an intention for sunnah qabliyah, which is the two rak'at before salat of dhuhr and after the adhan of dhuhr. You cannot make intention for the sunnah if you're going to pray the obligatory salat. Why we say that? Because this is a rukhsa. So the rukhsa only for one specific act. So you have to intend with it salat of dhuhr. And after you pray with the salat of dhuhr, you can pray the nawafil, the extra salawat, the recommended salawat, according to the principle he put. But if your principle says the tayammum is to remove the hadath, the spiritual impurity, what happens? You just intend that and you can pray whatever you like with it, before the time and after the time and whatever salat you want to pray. You see the difference between the two. That's why if you ring a sheikh and you get a fatwa of him, he'll give you the fatwa according to his principles. And if you're a blind follower, things will start getting confusing. You don't realize it because you don't know what is behind it from principles. And that's why we say, you will always be a blind follower if you do not learn the principles. That's why I highlight, if you see every lesson, whenever I can, principles, I highlight them for you to take you one step further in fiqh. مَنْ حُرِمَ الْأُصُولِ حُرِمَ الْوُصُولِ. The ulama says, whomever is deprived from the principles, he is deprived from to arrive to the highest status, to reach a high position.
If you are deprived from principles, you will become automatically deprived from reaching the high level of ilm. You will always be a blind follower.
And then he says, وَإِن تَيَمَّمَ لِفَرِيضَةٍ فَلَهُ فِعْلُهَا وَفِعْلُ مَا شَاءَ مِنَ الْفَرَائِدِ وَالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى يَخْرُجَ وَقْتُهَا. He said, and if he intend by the tayammum to do an obligatory prayer, it is allowed for him to pray a recommended prayer with that tayammum as well any other obligatory or recommended deed until the time for the prayer ends.
So, according as you see, Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, he says, if you intend for Salatul Dhuhr, then you can pray. Of course, you make the tayammum after the time. You intend Salatul Dhuhr. Then you can pray the 2 rak'at before the Salat and 2 rak'at after the Salat. And even if you want to pray another 4 rak'at after the Salat and you want to read a bit of Quran until the time of the Salat ends. But the correct opinion, the tayammum would remain with you even if you don't lose your wudu for Salat al-Asr, Maghrib and Isha, as long as the tayammum is, you haven't lost it. As long as you haven't lost the tayammum. We understand this point here. Of course, rahimahullah, some of them used, they said that, it's been narrated that Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhumah said that مِنَ السُّنَّةِ أَلَّا يُصَلِّيَ الرَّجُلُ بِالتَّيَمُّمِ إِلَّا صَلَاةً وَاحِدَةً ثُمَّ يَتَيَمَّمُ لِلصَّلَاةِ الْأُخْرَى. Ibn Abbas, it's been narrated that Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhumah said from the sunnah that a man does not pray with the tayammum except one salat, and then he will perform another tayammum for the following salat. Listen, when Ibn Abbas or a companion says it is from the sunnah, it takes the hukum as if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says it. From the sunnah means he've seen, heard, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say this. When the companion says min as-sunnah, then it is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says it. Now this hadith is very, very, very weak. Tayyib, and yani Ibn Hajar rahimahullah said it is very weak because it has Al-Hasan bin Amara and so on. They weaken this narration. Al-Rabi'u At-Turabu Fala Yatayammamu Illa Biturabin Tahirin Lahu Ghubar. The fourth condition, here he said, to use Turab. Thus he is not allowed to use anything other than pure turab that has dust on it. What does turab means? At-turab, which is dirt. Dirt. So here he used earth. Is it called earth? Ha, that's where is the question mark on the translation. The turab. So if you have the translation right, dirt, not earth. Because that's the second opinion. Well, Ibn Qudama specifically on the opinion of turab. So here he said, he interpreted a sa'id with what? With turab. Pay attention. He interpreted the sa'id is turab. Remember in the beginning of the lesson I said some of the linguists, they said sa'id means turab. And other linguists, they said the sa'id is what? Everything on the face of the earth. In his book, Rahimahullah Ibn Taymiyyah, he's got a great book and I love everyone to read it. It's called Rafu'ul Malam Anil A'immatil A'lam. Lifting or removing the blame on the great scholars. In it he says why the ulama differed in opinion. Why there is a difference in opinion. Inshallah, if we have the chance to go through this book, we will. It has been translated to my knowledge. One of it, he says, the reason the ulama differed is the understanding of the linguistical understanding of some terms in the Quran and the Sunnah. And one of them is sa'id. One of them, qar, as you would learn in the next chapter, which is qar. Qar either means menses or purity. The Arabs would call the word qar that you find in the Quran either the state of menses or the state of purity. So you find the Shafi'i took one opinion, another ulama took another opinion. Just because both Arabs and comes from the Arabic language and they differed based on that. This is one of them. Of course, in this case, what the ulama say, we have to look for a dalil khariji. And not from the khawarij. A dalil khariji means an outside dalil. Hadith that comes and explain this for us. An action of the Prophet ﷺ. An action of a lot of companions or some companions. They interpret this for us. Here he says,
يعني we say, الصعيد التراب that has dust on it.
تراب that has dust on it that you can use it. طيب, what does it mean? To avoid something that does not have dust. Like mud. Mud, you cannot use it for tayammum. Because it does not have dust, mud. You understand?
طيب, يعني dry, تراب.
Another group of ulama, they said, it is everything off the face of the earth. What is the dalil? They said, our dalil, also the Arabic language, some ulama of the language said, it is aside everything the face of the earth. But we have an hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَجُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِدًا وَطَهُورًا. The earth was made for me a masjid and a tahur. Here Allah subhanahu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the earth. That's why everything on this earth becomes tahur. Based on this, and this is the closest opinion, wallahu a'lam, everything of the face of the earth, this way we say, rocks, cement, sand, whatever has dust on it. By painted wall, we say no, because it is not the face of the earth. There is a layer on it. What about the bed? Also, you cannot use it. But if there is dust on it, can you use it? Let's say an old house, very old house in the desert, or an old house, or even your room. You went away, you came back, and the bed is, there's dust on it. Can you do tayammum? The ulama said yes, because the dust is from the earth and it's covered with dust, then you can use it for tayammum. You understand? But nice clean bed sheet, you cannot do tayammum on it. Nice clean wall that you have behind you, you cannot do tayammum on it. It has to be from the face of the earth. Also, for example, the sandstone. Yes, you can use it. As for the tiles, even if it doesn't have dust, can you use it? Yes. Because it is from the face of the earth. Let me repeat them one more time. Rocks, can you use rocks? Yes, it is from the face of the earth. Tiles, concrete, sandstone, pebbles, all of that because it is from the face of the earth. Now things that it is not face of from the face of the earth, let's say painted wall, blanket, we say, you're not allowed to use them for tayammum, but if there is dust on them, they become dusty, because the dust comes from where? From the earth. Then you can use them. Table, if it has dust on it, you can do tayammum on it. How do you know the dust? When you strike it, your hands will be filled with dust. Apart from that, anything from the earth, whether it's dusty or not, you can do tayammum with it. وَيُبْطِلُ التَّيَمُّمْ مَا يُبْطِلُ طَهَارَةَ الْمَاءِ. One's tayammum is nullified by what one's wudu is nullified by. We studied what nullifies the wudu. Now, whatever nullifies the wudu, nullifies the tayammum. Khalas, we understand that? Exactly the same nullifiers. وَخُرُوجُ الْوَقْتِ. And here he said, as well as by exiting of the time of prayer. Do we agree with that or not? According to the rule that we have established, we don't agree, because it is رَافِعٌ لِلْحَدَثِ. It removes the hadath. You are on a state of purity unless you lose your wudu. And ability to use water even if one was in a prayer. وَالْقُدْرَةُ عَلَى اسْتِعْمَالِ الْمَاءِ وَإِنْ كَانَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. Once you are able to use the water, then your tayammum has expired. As the hadith we mentioned, we said, فَإِذَا وَجَدَ الْمَاءِ, when he finds the water, فَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ وَلْيَمَسَّهُ وَلْيَمَسَّهُ بَشَرَتَهُ. When he finds the water, let him fear Allah and let him touch the water with his skin. So, what does that mean? That means, even if you didn't lose your tayammum, once the water is available, or the doctor, you went to the doctor and he said, خلاص, you made tayammum in the morning for Salat al-Fajr, you went to the doctor checked you and said, your skin is, alhamdulillah, 100%. Now, from that time till Zuhr time, you didn't lose your wudu. But since now you are able to use the water, your tayammum is nullified, and then you have to go and do what? Wudu. That's it. You understand? Pay attention to this. طيب, what about if you are in the salat? You started with the salat, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. In our case in Lebanon, sometimes there's water and sometimes there's no water. We leave the tap so we can hear it when the water comes. You hear the water start running through the tap, then khalas, you stop your salat, go make wudu and do your salat. As soon as you finish your salat, you said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and you hear the water start running through your tap, then your salat is finished, Alhamdulillah, it's done. You do not have to repeat it, even if you still have time for the salat. With this, we have finished the chapter of tayammum, and inshallah, next week we'll speak about the chapter of menses. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilaik, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.